How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll have Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie with us later this hour at 7:30. They are back in action tonight, out east, taking on the New Jersey Devils, so we'll get his thoughts on all that. The Rob rant coming up later this hour. And Joe, later today, Robert Saleh will be officially introduced as Titans head coach. He will have his introductory press conference. And looking forward to that and seeing what he's got to say coming up a little bit later today. Joe, we've spent the last couple of days talking about Brian Daboll and what that was going to look like. And now that we know that he's the OC hire, we talked about the staff that they're building out to this point. There is a lot of experience on this staff when you factor in Daboll and obviously Bones Fossil. And they hired wide receiver coach Greg Lewis yesterday, so he's got some experience doing that job. So there's a lot of experience that the Titans have on the early part of this staff here. How convinced are we that Robert Saleh is the coach that is going to turn this all around for the Tennessee Titans? They are on an impressive run right now of total ineptitude, and you don't have to tell Titans fans that. They've lived it over the last few years. You are excited about Cam Ward and some of the things that he did this season. You're excited about the cap space that you've got. I think most Titans fans are excited about their general manager and Mike Borgonzi and the opportunity that they're going to have with him maybe to build the roster and make the right choices. But ultimately, like, it's Saleh's going to have to be a big part of this too. So, you know, when they hired Robert Saleh, you know, I said this. I said I have an open mind to it. I wasn't necessarily over the moon about it. Like, I think, frankly, some people who are over the moon about it are maybe taking some liberties when it comes to his time in New York. I mean, the record is what the record is in his time in New York. So I'm not closing my mind that he's going to end up being a really good head coach in the National Football League. But I'm not overly excited about this hire either. Now that Daboll is in the fold, I feel better about it. I think that's a good opportunity. As Kuharski said yesterday, probably the most experienced offensive coordinator that they've had, just purely making the hire of an offensive coordinator. So, Joe, I turn it to you. I turn it to Titans fans. Now that we know what the OC is and that what that situation looks like for the Titans, how are we feeling about Saleh and the opportunity for him now to turn this thing around and get this team back to being a team that competes in the AFC?
Well, I think that with this organization, cautious optimism should probably be about the ceiling right now. I'm not saying that it is. And if you feel better than that, good for you. But I think cautiously optimistic is a fair way to feel right now. You're talking about two guys who failed as head coaches for a variety of reasons, and you can pick through all that and give them as much or as little blame as you want, but they did also have that experience. So again, I think the OC hire, I mean, relative to the candidates at their respective positions, the OC hire to me is better. Okay, right? Like, the OC hire is like you got someone who has been a head coach, who has been tied to multiple impressive quarterback development stories, who has worked for some of the best coaches in all of football. So I think that's a top OC hire on paper. Whereas, you know, Saleh was my favorite, you know, before the cycle got crazy. But it's still, you're still talking about someone who has demonstrated excellence as a coordinator and not excellence as a head coach, does have the experience. Combine them, I mean, it's pretty good. Like, I mean, I think there should be some excitement about that. And like I said yesterday, a little bit off what we're talking about here, but I am fascinated by the big personalities of those two guys, because it kind of is, especially with Salah calling plays. I mean, it kind of feels like you got your offensive head coach and your defensive head coach. Do people like that or not?
Yeah, I mean the distinguished gentleman's like on the YouTube chat right now. He's like, "You're a Packers fan, bro." It's like, "Oh, well, that's fine." All Titans fans told me the last 3 years before either one of these guys had accomplished a damn thing in their job. Rand Carthon, Brian Callahan. Oh, how great! How what a great hire Rand Carthon was. What a great hire Brian Callahan is. Before they had ever done anything in the NFL. So maybe how'd that work out? By the way, how'd it work out with those two guys? All
Are
I'm saying
you
is,
pre-ranting
yeah, all I'm saying is,
right now?
you guys like maybe learn how to be a little bit patient here and wait and see before you just go off anointing people, right? Like, look, the fact is, not your feelings, the fact is, Robert Saleh has been a bad head coach in the NFL before, right? Now, that doesn't mean that he's always going to be a bad head coach in the NFL, and that doesn't mean that the New York Jets aren't a total tire fire and are maybe the primary reason why everything fails there, right? Like their owner is atrocious. I understand all those things. But like, I'm sorry. If you're sitting here expecting me to act like Robert Saleh, like it's a guaranteed great hire, like it's some awesome, it's an automatic success that they've hired Robert Saleh and this is absolutely going to work out. Yeah, I'm not willing to do that. I have an open mind to it. I'm hopeful that he can be a really good head coach in this league, that he's learned some things from stop one to stop two. But there has been way too much in this fan base over the last few years of just saying, "Oh, yes, it's all great now," before actually letting something play out.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but I feel like I don't know that that makes this like a an exclusive fan base, you know? Like
No, I'm not saying it
you
does,
want to
but
believe that, and of course with these fans, they've been served up so many bleep sandwiches, you know, that you know you but that you want to, you know, that you want to believe. I mean, look, I think what you're talking about, the dynamic you're talking about, this is where, you know, with the Vrabel discussion, it does, because there were people who was like, it was basically picking Rand over Vrabel. Not that it was necessarily a power struggle between those two. I don't think that Rand Carthon wanted Vrabel out. I think he's, you know, but that was the choice, right? It was like, we're gonna turn this over to Rand. We're gonna let him find our coach and get out of here, Mike. And that's where, like, you know, that's where, yes, the Titans did big time blow it. And look, there was a lot of excitement about Rand, and a lot of excitement. I mean, I was definitely, I'll raise my hand. I mean, we can go back and probably find audio clips. Like, I was optimistic about both after hearing from them initially, you know. They both had great pressers. So
but that's
that
my
only
point.
goes
Can
so
we
far.
learn from that? Like, can we
Yeah.
learn from that as a community here? Like, I understand. I'm not saying that you can't be excited. You can be excited. That's fine. But like, I've seen way too much of, well, this is the best Titans coaching staff of all time. It's like, is it? Like, there's a head coach in charge who's 20 and 35 or whatever he is as the head coach. Again, that doesn't mean that he can't end up being a good head coach in the league. But can we hold off on like the greatest Titans coaching staff of all time and see them, I don't know, maybe coach a few games first?
Yeah, like on paper, yeah, like I like the experience and all this stuff, but like distinguished gentleman is like, this is clearly a better coaching staff than we've had in a while. But
That's what
again,
I'm talking
okay.
about. You just had a coaching staff with Mike Vrabel. You had
Right.
Mike Vrabel, Arthur Smith, Dean Pease together as a coaching staff 5 years ago.
Right. So what's a while? I mean, I guess if you want to say this is clearly a better staff than what Callahan had, okay. I can buy that, because now, again, Bill Callahan was the belle of the ball, but, and talk about experience. And I mean, it's amazing too, seeing, like, on the flip side of this, Titans fans who were like, he was total trash here, he was overrated. And it's like, it certainly did not, he did not snap his fingers and create a great offensive line. That there's no doubt. I don't know that that totally invalidates his entire career, but no, I'll listen to, this looks a lot better on paper. Like, there's more achievement, experience, all that stuff on this staff than especially if you want to talk about the first Callahan staff, because of course then he
Yeah.
gets Fossil and improves it a lot, and he's still here. So if you want to compare this to the staff he initially put together, I would agree with you. But yeah, like what's a while? Like, again, the guy in the Super Bowl had a whole bunch of those guys here back then, not that long ago.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Like, yes, is this a better staff than Brian Callahan's staff? God, I hope so. Oh my goodness. Because if it's not, we got a big problem. But that shouldn't be the bar. Like, getting better than Brian Callahan's staff? Go look around the NFL. How many coaching staffs are better than Brian Callahan's staff? Pretty good amount of them, man. So that's what I'm saying here. Like, Saleh, I'm intrigued by. I really am. Like, I think he's clearly a really good defensive mind. I think he's clearly gifted at connecting with players. All that's good. I like that. But his head coaching record is what it is. And I think some people are acting like, well, it's just all the New York Jets. We're going to find out. Like, this is what did he learn from stop one to stop two? I've been talking about that from the moment that he got hired. Because I think if you're approaching this of, it was just the Jets, that's a huge mistake to make.
I don't disagree. We got a lot of good thoughts on this.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue this discussion coming up next. We got Derek McKenzie coming up at 7:30. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Derek McKenzie, Predators assistant coach, will be with us at 7:30. Got the Rob rant coming up later this hour as well. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. We said it earlier, but repeat it. Charles Robinson normally with us at 8 o'clock on Thursdays. He will move to tomorrow. Got some scheduling stuff going on there, so we will have Charles on the show coming up tomorrow. Taking your thoughts on Robert Saleh and the Titans. Robert Saleh being introduced as the next Titans head coach today, as his official press conference is this afternoon. So taking your thoughts on all that. Joe, one texter says, I believe the optimism comes from teams like the Bears with a coach that comes in right away and turns the team around with a young quarterback. Every franchise has fans like this, either really positive or really negative. The Titans believe they have a huge upgrade from a team that had zero experience in coaching. Their OC wasn't even the second option to call plays last year, which is fine. Not calling plays, which is all good.
It's no problem. No
No
problem at
problem.
all. I mean, I got to read this text here. So we've had a few bad years. It has been rough in all caps around here. We're freezing. We ain't got no power. Damn. Give us a few days to be happy. We got two serious head coaching candidates on our team. That's a good thing. Can't you let people be happy, Robbie?
I have no problem with people being happy. I have a problem with saying, oh, well, this is absolutely going to work. Like, can we not learn our lesson from that? Like, we're talking about proven commodities here. Like, the distinguished gentleman says proven commodities. That's fine. Well, is Robert Saleh a proven commodity at head coach? God, I hope not. Because if he is, he's 20 and 36. That's all I'm saying. Like, I have no problem with optimism. I have no problem with you being happy. I have no problem with you being excited. But stop acting like it's just absolutely going to work. That's all I'm saying.
Do you know who was a proven commodity who did not have that record? A certain coach by the name of Ken Whisenhunt.
Oh, yeah.
Again, I can't speak to the level of optimism and excitement there was about Ken Whisenhunt, but I remember when the Titans hired him, I was like, man, that's pretty good, Titans. Yeah. Super Bowl coach,
Yeah.
right? Come
Which
on.
is amazing to think about, but yes.
Right. So it's just like, it is really hard. You can find a whole bunch of examples of the non-experienced staff, unproven staff, the unknown is undefeated, and sometimes it goes terribly, like it did it with Callahan here. But there's more examples of that working in the league in the last decade than not working,
Yeah,
right?
I agree. Like, I just, again, like, Saleh has to have learned that. We've heard Zach Rosenblatt talk about this on DVD and at other places at The Athletic, too. Like, it wasn't just, oh, it's just Woody Johnson and everything the Jets touch turned to dust. Like, he had some problems his first time around as a head coach. Now, can you learn from those and not have those same problems in your second stint as a head coach? And yeah, I mean, obviously, like, the quarterback's going to be a big part of it, right? I mean, I understand that in New York, you're talking about Zach Wilson, who's bad, And then, they go get Aaron Rodgers, and he blew out his Achilles four plays into his tenure the first year. And he wasn't the quarterback long enough in the second stint to really get a feel for it. I mean, what were they when they fired Saleh in Rodgers' second year? 2-3, something like that?
It was early, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was really early into the year. So I understand all that. Like, the quarterback part of it is a big deal here. And I do feel good about Dable coming in and working with Cam Ward here. I just am really interested to see, and it's the same point I brought up since October. Some of these guys that get second stints as a head coach, it's going to become painfully obvious that they're not good head coaches in the
Yep.
league. Some of them will be. Some of them will get that second opportunity, and they'll be really good in their second stop. And you just got to hope that Robert Saleh fits into the latter part of that category. But to act like it's crazy that he could be the first part is where I take issue with this whole thing.
Well, and I keep calling for this and then not doing the work to, but I still I'd love to see the, like a more comprehensive list of the second chance coaches or retread coaches who failed initially. We always talk about the big ones, non-Hall of Famer Belichick and Pete Carroll as, failed head coaches who then went on to have success. There aren't that many other examples people are introducing, and I'm kind of racking my brain for more. I'd love to see. I'd read something that was breaking down the success rate. It doesn't seem that it's very high. I think there's a lot more of the former of what you just said, where it's like there are some coaches who are just better as coordinators, are really good. That's their vibe. They'll give me this room, give me basically, half the team. And give me this part of the team and let me go, and it's perfect. And then you get to all the crap that goes with being a head coach. And that is probably the biggest red flag on Saleh, is all the crap that went with being a head coach. And I understand New York is different. It is different. It's a massive press corps, and so there's a lot of people, trying to distinguish themselves, and so you have a lot of stuff to deal with. But the text to the radio guy and trying to find out who the mole is in the building, like that's stuff you don't have to worry about as a coordinator, and so you can excel as a coordinator. Now, if you're him, you probably also th say, this will be nice. There's like 10 people who are always at the press conferences. Like it'll
He's gonna
be.
bug Kuharsky's phone.
Well, that's the thing. Then he's also gonna have to have Kaharski banned from the building. So as soon as he figures that out, the quicker he figures that out, the better off he'll be. But no, I mean, it's some people, and it's very possible that Robert Saleh is just going to be a hell of a coordinator this league, and that's what this job is going to tell everyone. He's a coordinator. You hope not, but it is possible. Again, it's like this pairing is it just it's very much. It feels just like, okay, Saleh, you got the defense, you're the head coach, but the defense is yours. Dayball, the offense is yours. It could work out well. And again, if one side is way underperforming relative to the other side, then that gets interesting with two guys who have been head coaches before.
We'll be joined by Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. The Preds are back in action tonight, out east again, taking on the New Jersey Devils. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie to the program. Derek, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
Doing awesome, man.
Good.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Derek, you guys get the point last time out against Boston, taking on another very talented New Jersey team tonight on the road. How are you feeling right now about where your guys' game is as a team heading into this one?
Well, obviously, we're playing really good hockey to get ourselves back in the conversation. I think as a group over the last couple of days, collectively, the consensus is that things have probably slipped just a little bit. That's going to happen during, a season. I think it's great that, we've been able to talk about it a little bit, address some of the things. And going into tonight, obviously really good skating team, so we're going to have to be sharp early and make a few little adjustments to kind of get us rolling again.
What are some of those things, Derek, that needed to be addressed?
Well, I think just, you know, just the little things sometimes. You talk about, you know, stick battles. You talk about, you know, just some of the details in the neutral zone. I thought really our neutral zone was excellent against Boston. You know, gave us a chance to kind of win the game. To be quite honest, probably deserved better in that one, right? So you're looking for little moments in a game to kind of get them up, that momentum rolling, not only in that game, but moving forward. Obviously, it would have been nice to get 2 points. Thought we deserved it. We didn't get it. So now the concern and the consensus is just that, you know, we've got to move on, have a short-term memory. Didn't exactly finish the way we wanted to, but I did think that the, you know, our game kind of was building. We just got to carry it into tonight.
I mean, Derek, you obviously played in this league for a long time. There's a guy like O'Reilly right now who's 34 years old. He's going to be 35, I think, next week. 51 points in 52 games. We know about, you know, the work habits and just everything that he means to the team. But just on the ice, as you watch him this year, what stands out to you about the year that he's having and just him and his career? How has he been able to stay as productive as he is as long as he's been doing it in this league?
Well, I mean, obviously from a coach's perspective, there's some things that, you know, you just can't teach. And Ryan's clearly got a hockey IQ that's, you know, probably in that 2 percentile in the league. And that just, you know, continually puts him in the right places at the right time. So you start from there, I think top 5 percentile for sure of like sticks. If you just watch his hand eye and how he uses that tool. I mean, you know, you kind of take it for granted at times where, you figure we all have one and we all know how to use one, but, you know, there is a skill to finding ways to get pucks back quicker than others, and I think he does an excellent job of that. I mean, you know, for a guy, you know, that's not getting any younger, for a guy that might not be, you know, in some other categories like skating in the top five percentile, it is just quite amazing that every night, you know, he plays against the top lines. It can be McDavid or McKinnon or, you know, tonight it'll be Hughes, who's a pretty graceful skater. And if you find a way to outcompete them and ultimately, you know, play better hockey on most nights than a lot of those guys. So he's been, you know, a huge piece of the puzzle. You address the stuff on and off the ice, his work ethic. I think for us as coaches, and it's probably someone alluded to before, is just managing him, you know, managing his work ethic, managing his ice time. He wants to be out there every second shift. He wants to be out for 2 hours in practice. I think the staff, right from our strength and conditioning guys to the coaches and the communication that everyone's had, has done a really good job of managing that this year. And I think ultimately that's why you're seeing some success on the ice.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask about off the ice, like you just said there, you just laid out for us. Obviously, the work ethic is legendary from the moment he got here. And, of course, in previous stops, I mean, people talk about that. But so his impact on younger players, obviously then as a leader by example, but what about beyond that and like his voice in the room? Like how does that fit in with, you know, the other leaders on the team, and how does that impact the young guys?
Well, I think in his instance, it's probably, you know, less is more at times. Like he's not, you know, necessarily, you know, the most rah-rah guy. And again, I'm only speculating a little bit. I can talk obviously a little bit more candidly about, you know, on the bench in situations where, you know, we've been stung with a couple goals, you're down 2-0, as we have been more often than we wanted to be this year. I think in those moments, that's where, you know, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to convince guys that we can do it. It's a third thing to actually go out and help accomplish it. And I think that's where obviously his experience and the respect that, you know, he has with the guys in the dressing room. It's just something that seems to translate more often than not. And, you know, you're not going to get the result every time, but that's when I think, you know, he's at his best and his most, you know, is really valuable to our team, is just calming those young guys, convincing those young guys, and then going out and executing some of that. And as we know, we've had as many comebacks as anybody in the league this year. And I think he's been a huge part of that.
So, Derek, I mean, it's obviously been a tough year from March or so from the standpoint of, you know, the injuries. And he talked last week about how, you know, it's been tough to stay healthy and get healthy and all those things. So as he's kind of working his way back here and has been back in here for the past few games, what do you think about where he is, and what do you think about just kind of where his game is and where it could be ultimately going if he is able to get in there, get some traction and stay healthy?
Yeah, well, I mean, Johnny can be a really effective guy. I mean, I had an opportunity to play with him for a few years in Florida. And, you know, I think right now, yeah, his game is building. Obviously, you know, it was a tough stretch for him and missing 14 games. And when you can't skate the way you want to skate and, you know, you're in pain, I mean, it's a difficult situation. So I think, you know, he seems to, you know, from what I can see, seems to be moving a lot better. When you can start moving better, you start putting yourself in better places. You have that little extra time and space, just enough to obviously get off that shot that can be very dangerous and has been very dangerous for him throughout the years. You know, combine that with the fact that he's, you know, he's had a really good attitude as far as, you know, where he plays in the lineup. I think, you know, you look right now, the last few games playing with McCarron and Smith, I mean, those are two guys that, like, just every night are going to work as hard as they can. Obviously, Smith, you know, a really strong, quick skater who, you know, sometimes it's nice to have a guy who can finish on your line. So, you know, you're kind of hoping that that's a bit of the chemistry there as far as, you know, let those guys get in on the forecheck, let them dig, let them come up with some pucks, and then you have a guy that was given a little bit of time and opportunity, he can finish for it. And if that starts to click, then you have a line that not only can play against top lines, but that contributes with that secondary offense, which, you know, is so important to a lot of teams.
Matthew Wood, we were talking about him earlier in the show, Derek, and, you know, obviously he's been nicked up some this year and things like that, had some really great stretches during the season. Is the quote unquote, the rookie wall, is that part of the story with him right now? Where do you think he is?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a very good hockey player in this league for a long time. I think, you know, you see it time and time again with the young guys. They come in and, you know, the adrenaline's high and, you know, things go right and they get off to a really good start. And then teams start to notice you, your matchups get a little bit more difficult and, you know, a little bit of that puck luck goes away. You know, in saying that, you see a lot of guys come in and not be able to have those moments early as well. So we can talk about, yeah, you know, a bit of that hitting the wall as a rookie and, you know, having some fantastic stretches. I mean, you have to be a very good player to have those fantastic stretches. So we know it's there, and it's not for lack of effort. It's not for lack of detail. I mean, he's one of those guys that when you're not looking, he's in the gym or staying on the ice and working on his game. You know, now, unfortunately for him, you know, being a little bit in and out of the schedule, things moving around for him are still coming back into the lineup. It only, you know, kind of makes it that much more difficult to kind of get your game to where you want it to be and to produce at the level he wants to produce at. So, he's been great. He's, you know, helped us get to where we are, and he's going to continue to do that. And like I said, with the attitude he has, I have no doubt that, you know, in the long run, it's going to all work out for him. You know, right now we're just in a situation where every point counts. So whatever Coach Brent thinks is the best lineup or the best line for him or the best situation for him is just how it's going to have to be. And him being a team guy, I know he understands that.
Well, Derek, a big one tonight in New Jersey. Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning. Good luck tonight against the Devils, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Preds assistant coach Derek McKenzie, our guest here on the program. Preds are in action tonight, taking on the Devils. Puck drop is at 6 o'clock tonight, pregame at 5 o'clock here on 102.5 The Game. And then they'll close out this road trip out east on Saturday, taking on the New York Islanders before they're back home on Monday. And speaking of that, I got some tickets to give away to see the Preds take on the St. Louis Blues at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Monday night. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the St. Louis Blues at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Monday night. We'll have the Rob rant coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
We're going to hire you to be the head coach, and we're going to have some onesies.
I hate the V-necks. I hate how they feel. I just don't like them. I'm sorry.
It's so fun to hear you try to be hip.
Hiring your daddies.
Ed Brian Callahan, hiring your dad.
I'm basically making out with the microphone.
Nate Ament made him your daddy.
Who is your daddy? And what does it do?
Well, we can say daddy here on the program. Let's just keep doing that.
Pound sand to the University of Alabama. It is time for the Rob Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Heal from the inside out. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. By the way, appreciate Derek McKenzie for being with us in the last segment. Brought to you by Arrow Exterminators. Going beyond the call, Arrow Exterminators, a proud partner of the Nashville Predators. So, Joe, I've already yelled about what I was going to rant about earlier this hour, so I don't need to necessarily do that again. I do have another message, though, to some Titans fans out there. And I don't think this one is a very loud majority, but I have heard from some of these from my friends on my personal text line, and then I've seen some of it on social media. Just worried to death about what happens if Brian Daboll leaves after next year, okay? So Brian Daboll comes in, does a really good job as Titans OC, and then gets a head coaching job next year. I mean, they're worried to death about it. And look, I'm not saying it's a totally invalid concern in terms of, you know, you're looking at Cam Ward's development and what happens if he goes from just running this system under Brian Callahan to the system they're getting ready to run under Brian Daboll. And if Daboll gets a head coaching job after that, you'd be on your third coordinator, I guess technically your fourth coordinator, and your third offensive system in 3 years if you're Cam Ward at that point. However, my message is this, Joe. Let's welcome that. I welcome Brian Daboll getting a head coaching opportunity next year. And do you know why I welcome Brian Daboll getting a head coaching opportunity next year, Joe? That probably means he's done a pretty darn good job and you're feeling pretty good about Cam Ward after 2 years. And with everything that's gone on around here and the poor quarterback play that we've seen and all the losing that they've done, and the turmoil in the organization, and all these different things. If we get to the end of this next season, and Brian Daboll has done a good enough job as offensive coordinator with the Tennessee Titans, to where teams are not only interviewing him next year to be a head coach, but actually pull the trigger and hire him to be a head coach next year, that probably speaks pretty well as to what's gone on here. Now, I mean, I guess, Joe, there's a world where that's not necessarily the case. Like, he could come in and do an okay job, and Cam Ward can be okay, and the offense in general can be okay, and he could still get hired, right? I mean, frankly, like, that's basically what happened with LaFleur. He came in, he did an okay job, the Titans offense was okay, and then they turned around at the end of the year and they handed off to Derrick Henry a bunch of times, and then Matt LaFleur was the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. So that is possible, but if you're a Titans fan out there that's just worried to death about Brian Daboll leaving if he has success, I say this. Let's welcome the success. Let's usher in the success. And then if that costs you the coaching, the coach part of it at the end of it, so be it. Let's deal with the success. We've been dealing with too much failure around here.
Well, especially because if that happens, I don't see a scenario where that happens and Cam Ward doesn't take a pretty significant step. And he's still the most important person in the organization by far. You know, he may end up outlasting this coaching staff too. I mean, and another one, who knows? But if I can't imagine Daboll getting a job if it isn't because people say, wow, look at Cam Ward's leap with Daboll, you know? Now, I guess the best or the worst case scenario would be like some improvement from Cam, but the, you know, and the offense like shows improvement. And by the way, I think the offense is closer than the defense in terms of personnel.
I totally agree.
But then the defense still stinks. Salah can't fix it in 1 year. You still have a terrible bottom line. You know, you go like 5-12 because your defense couldn't get fixed, but there's some progress and it's enough for Daboll to get pried away. And then, I mean, the one thing about Daboll, if it's like a 1 year thing, as we've talked about, it's like you are changing systems, you are changing terminology at the very least, and some other things, you know, different concepts. But now you probably are replacing him going back to the Shanahan system, I would guess. That'd be my guess. It's like, okay, Robert, who do you got? It's probably going to be one of his guys, you know, in the whole tree there that he's been a part of. And so then you're going to flip it right back and say, okay, Cam, remember like a lot of that terminology and everything from rookie year? Okay, we're going back to that now. That's, I mean, like, is that like a devastating or anything? No, but it's at least annoying and a little bit of a hindrance if it happens that way.
Again, welcome it. Come on.
Yeah.
That means that things are going well. Yeah. And look, this is, This is part of what you deal with when you make the choice for the defensive coach, right? Like when you hire the defensive coach, that means if your offense has success, you're probably getting your coordinator pried away from you at some point, right? And that's why teams have drifted more towards trying to hire those offensive guys that are also the play caller. Now, that doesn't mean to me that you just distance yourself from hiring a quote-unquote defensive coach. Like you hire who you think is the best coach for the job, and the Titans clearly feel like Robert Saleh is the best coach for the job that was available to them at the time. Now, so we'll see what happens on that front. But like if Cam Ward is good enough in his second year where Brian Daboll gets hired as a head coach next offseason, number one, that probably means that he has shown some things independent of coaching, even independent of coaching, that you're feeling pretty good about moving forward. So that's the first thing. But number two, all that does, Joe, is also enhance the attractiveness of the OC job, right? Like you're able to then attract really good candidates to come in and be an offensive coordinator and work with Cam Ward at that point. So like I see it as,
sure.
I understand like you don't want to lose, like if Daboll's really good, you don't want to lose him after 1 year. I understand that. But if it works out that way and he's really good and Cam Ward ascends as a quarterback, that also makes that job in particular, the OC job with Cam Ward, more attractive at that point.
No doubt. Like Ed is saying, you know, is it come down to as simple as like if Ward is good, Ward looks good, then Saleh looks good. I mean, that's the biggest factor. And OCs in this league, absolutely. What is the thing that's most attractive? And just like head coaches like Vrabel and other coaches looking at jobs, what are they looking at? Vrabel went all out for the Chargers job. He's like, okay, Justin Herbert is my quarterback. Yep. Then the Pats job. I understand it's the Pats, but like Drake May is my quarterback. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it. OCs are the same way. Yeah. Let me go ahead and, you know, work with this guy, but also just be near this guy. And then I will benefit, you know, I will draft off this guy because he's a very good quarterback. So you're right. Dable. It's not Dable. Someone's telling us it's Dable.
I think it is Dable.
It's Brian Dable?
Yeah, I think he was down there in Alabama one time and was like, basically, I think he used the Dable like table analogy.
Okay, well, I've been going extreme Dayball.
Well, everybody on like ESPN calls him Dayball, so that's where that all came from.
They still do call him Dayball?
Oh yeah.
So he's another Mariota, huh?
Yes.
Okay, well, we need to get it right. So Brian Dable. It just seems weird, man. I don't know. I have not heard that. I have not heard that in media at all. Dable.
That's what we're going with.
Well, he is Canadian. You know, sometimes they have the different enunciations there. No offense, Redemption.
Do we think Dable's played hockey?
Probably.
Oh, yeah, for sure. If you're born in Ontario, I think that's like a thing you have to do, right?
It's like a rite of passage up there.
I could see him over there, right? You know, right up, pressed up against the ice. The camera pans down. He puts down a Bud Light real fast. I could see
Molson.
Him.
Yeah, maybe he'll be.
Oh, God.
Could be a regular at a Preds game. Molson. Huh? I could see that.
Exactly.
Could be.
You made me miss Molson. I haven't had a Molson in a long time.
I'm sorry. Didn't mean to have you craving beer in the middle of the show. It's my fault.
We're more of a Labatt.
Labatt.
Blue. Yeah.
Oh. No, whenever I go to Michigan, and that's one thing you just can't get down here. You got to get the Labatt, man. Labatt Blue, baby.
Yep.
Hey, tell Dable to bring him. He's probably got a hookup.
By the way,
might need some to deal with Kuharsky on a daily basis or on a weekly basis.
Yeah, just kind of manage the gout. Good point by the texter. So basically, just Vrabel, Table, Dable. I guess that's what it is. But I do need him to confirm that. You know, it's like, who was the corner here? Still drives me crazy. Just who was just
I don't know. They had a lot of corners here, man.
Well, it was just here. He has an African name, which people were like.
Woozy?
Chido
Bay. That's right.
Right. So if you say Chido Bay Awuzie, that's fine. That's how you say it. But see, everybody around here wanted to say Chidobe Awuzie. No, he said in English, it's Chidobe Awuzie.
Yeah.
So if you're going to say my name in English, Chidobe Awuzie.
Yeah.
I swear everybody in this whole press corps is like, Chidobe Awuzie. Stop it. I don't know why that got me so upset. Someone said Moosehead. We actually can get Moosehead down here, and that's solid. But it's not Labatt or Molson. Molson Canadian. What a great beer, man. Better than Molson Golden.
One texter says, one thing you guys aren't taking into account is that Dable will be the third best candidate available behind Tomlin and McDermott. Also, there probably won't be 10 job openings next season either. On the second part, I agree with. Probably not going to see as many job openings in the NFL next year as we saw this year. I mean, I guess. But you never know who could be available, as we found out this year with John Harbaugh getting fired and Sean McDermott getting fired and Mike Tomlin stepping aside.
Well, and you know, someone, I don't know if Tomlin's coaching again. I mean, I could see anything with him is possible. Another, we'll talk about it next hour, but there is a little interesting sort of rumor out there that, so I don't know that, you know, we'll see with McDermott. I don't know that McDermott is going to be in the next cycle. We'll see.
Well, apparently he's the worst coach of all time. They just got to go get Joe Brady in there, and they'll be fine up there in Buffalo.
Get McDermott out of there, and everything's going to be great.
Yeah. Speaking of coaching searches, one NFL team has severely upset, apparently, a former Titans coordinator. We will get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.